Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone, and thanks to the peerless Andrea Bernstein for filling in for me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week. I know Andrea and you were following the Supreme Court rulings that came down late last week, and I thought we would begin today by following up on the issue of Barack Obama's reactions to two of the rulings. The web right now is full of debate among progressives and Democrats, never mind what the Republicans are saying, full of debate among progressives and Democrats about Obama supporting the death penalty for a crime other than murder and supporting the decision that the right to bear arms is an individual right having nothing to do with the formation of a well-regulated militia. And so we will open up the phones right at the start here today for Obama supporters primarily on how you're digesting these positions. You can call in at our temporary but very persistently temporary call-in number 646-SPUDRAY, 646-778-3729, 646-SPUDRAY, 646-778-3729. And I'm going to take a few minutes here to kind of dig in on some clips and some quotes tracing what Obama really did and didn't say at different times about a couple of these issues. I think it's possible that the flip-flop charge doesn't stick even if you don't like his position. So let's start with a clip. This is April 16th of this year in a Democratic debate in Philadelphia when Obama was asked whether he believes the Constitution provides individuals the right to bear arms outside of the context of a well-regulated militia.
As a general principle, I believe that the Constitution confers an individual right to bear arms. But just because you have an individual right does not mean that the state or local government can't constrain the exercise of that right. And, you know, in the same way that we have a right to private property, but local governments can establish zoning ordinances that determine how you can use it. And I think that it is going to be important for us to reconcile what are two realities in this country. There's the reality of gun ownership and the tradition of gun ownership that's passed on from generation to generation. You know, when you listen to people who have hunted and they talk about the fact that they went hunting with their fathers or their mothers, then that is something that is deeply important to them and culturally they care about deeply. But you also have the reality of what's happening here in Philadelphia and what's happening in Chicago.
So that was back in April. So he was taking the position at that time that, quote, as a general position, I believe that the Constitution confers an individual right to bear arms, but then went on to say, as you heard, that that can be constrained and regulated. Here is John McCain. This is the audio on this is not great, but this is McCain talking to reporters in an impromptu news conference, I believe on his bus, after the Supreme Court decision came down the other day and Obama reacted.
All I can say is it's one in a long series of reversals of position. In a few days, he's gone from opposing nuclear power to not a proponent to willing to explore. I fully anticipate, whether it be on his pledge on public financing or his position on the Second Amendment or any other issues, he is changing his positions.
So maybe on public financing, but apparently not, at least based on that clip that we played from April, changing his position after the Supreme Court decision on gun rights. And here's how Obama responded to McCain.
I've been very consistent. I teach constitutional law. What I said was that I believe in the Second Amendment as being an individual right and have said that consistently. I also think that individual right is constrained by the rights of the community to maintain issues of public safety. I don't think those two principles are contradictory, and in fact, what I've been saying consistently is what the Supreme Court essentially said today. The D.C. law may have been struck down, but they also affirmed the right to for local communities to engage in background checks and other common sense laws that most lawful gun owners would agree with.
Remember that the Supreme Court struck down a total ban on handgun ownership in the city of Washington, D.C. Next hour, by the way, we will have a debate on what that Supreme Court ruling means for New Jersey. New Jersey has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, including a ban on a category of weapons, what they call assault weapons, and we'll see if people think that that's going to hold up after the Supreme Court ruling. But on Obama, give us a call. How are you digesting his positions on either of the Supreme Court rulings? And we'll talk about the other one now. 646-SPUD-RAY, 646-778-3729, 646-SPUD-RAY, 646-778-3729. 83729, our temporary but very persistently temporary phone number here at 160 Varick Street. The European press is full of disappointment today at Obama embracing the death penalty. And remember, he supported the court. He opposed the court. The court said, the court is to the left of Obama on this. The John Roberts Court decided that the death penalty would be cruel and unusual punishment if administered for the crime of child rape. In other words, if administered for anything other than murder, taking another person's life under the most egregious circumstances. And here are two competing posts on U.S. websites reacting to Obama. The first one is from the progressive site Alternet. And Alternet says, what a difference a general election makes. Hours after the Supreme Court handed down a ruling banning the death penalty for the rape of a child, Democratic candidate Barack Obama found his inner Scalia and declared it a miscarriage of justice. Then it goes on to quote him and seems to indicate that he wasn't inconsistent in this. Again, maybe not inconsistent, whether you think he's right or wrong. The Obama quote, I have said repeatedly that I think the death penalty should be applied in very narrow circumstances for the most egregious of crimes, quoting an old Obama position. So I guess he puts that in this category. Then the article says, Obama defenders may argue, as they do about his other recent shifts to the right, that he had to take this position in order to strengthen his candidacy. No, he didn't, writes Alternet. The Democrats may continue to operate in a world in which opposition to the death penalty equals political death, a world shaped by the famous 1988 Dukakis moment in which the Democratic presidential candidate was hapless when challenged to state what he would support, to state that he would support the killing of a man who raped and murdered his wife. But times have changed. While the Democrats have embraced the death penalty, public support for it has dwindled, especially in recent years. Unfortunately, presidential candidates have their own evolving standards of decency, and too often they are erased to the bottom, so says Alternet. But here's something from another post. This is Jeffrey Rosen writing on the New Republic website today. And this is titled, In Support of Obama's Death Penalty Stand. And Jeffrey Rosen writes, many liberals may be inclined to view Obama's criticism of the Supreme Court decision banning execution of child rapists as the worst kind of poll-driven pandering, akin to Bill Clinton's decision to fly home to Arkansas during the 1992 election to permit the execution of the mentally handicapped Ricky Ray Rector. I disagree, writes Jeffrey Rosen. In fact, Obama's support for the execution of child rapists wasn't invented for the presidential election. It dates back to the Audacity of Hope, where he wrote, now quoting from Obama's book, while the evidence tells me that the death penalty does little to deter crime, I believe there are some crimes, mass murder, the rape of a child, the rape and murder of a child, so heinous, so beyond the pale, that the community is justified in expressing the full measure of its outrage by meting out the ultimate punishment, unquote. So, again, on the flip-flop question, maybe not. Going back to the Audacity of Hope, Obama saying there are some crimes, mass murder, the rape and murder of a child, so heinous, so beyond the pale that the community is justified in expressing the full measure of its outrage And Rosen concludes, what's most striking about his position on the case is that it suggests a welcome suspicion of old-style Warren Court judicial activism. If the court had said, we want to constrain the abilities of states to make sure that if it's done in a careful and appropriate way, that would have been one thing, Obama noted, but it basically had a blanket prohibition, and I disagree with that decision, quoting Obama. And Jeffrey Rosen says, given the fact that Obama has cited Earl Warren as a model for the kind of Supreme Court justices he would appoint, his criticism of this opinion, which was too quick to detect a national consensus against the death penalty for child rape, is encouraging. So there you go. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's a flip-flop or not, if you're an Obama supporter, how are you digesting his reactions to the Supreme Court decisions late last week? 646-SPUD-RAY, 646-778-3729. And Alan in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alan.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay. What you thinking?
I'm digesting these positions very, very well.
As an Obama supporter?
Yeah, that's right.
Because?
Well, you know, my feeling is that he clearly can't afford to be portrayed by the McCain campaign. Or by Republican operatives in general as being against the death penalty under all circumstances. And, you know, you've already spoken to what happened with Dukakis in 1988 in this hypothetical rape/murder of his wife. Why would we revisit that moment?
But the death penalty for a crime other than murder, short of murder, horrible as child rape may be, many people on the left are saying, hey, come on, you know, Barack, are you the guy we thought you were here?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I view this through a political lens rather than through a policy lens. And, I mean, I think it's reasonable to separate the two. I'll accept that there is not as much certainty with respect to his policy position. But I think that the Obama campaign right now is concerned principally with the political ramifications of what he does between now and early November.
Alan,
so he has to get elected.
Thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it. Susie in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susie.
Good morning. I was a reluctant Obama supporter to begin with. I was a Kucinich supporter, and I thought I would end up with Obama. The death penalty is an absolute no-go for me. I can never support anyone who favors the death penalty. You add to that his vote for FISA, his opting out of public funding for elections, no universal single-payer health care. What's left? What's left of any progressive agenda with this candidate? I see nothing that I could vote for. Nothing.
So what are you going to do? Sit it out? You're not going to vote for McCain, obviously, based on your views.
No, I'm going to probably vote for a third-party candidate. I always vote simply on the grounds that I don't think you have any right to complain if you don't vote.
Thank you for your call. Noah in Park Slope. You're on WNYC. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Brian. I think my mother says hello.
Oh, well, say hi to your mom.
Absolutely. I have no objection whatsoever to Obama's decision. I think, like the last caller, if one is categorically opposed to the death penalty, then, you know, the particular issue at issue is irrelevant, you know. But dealing with the particulars of the crime, you know, I would challenge someone to explain what is inherently more abhorrent about first-degree murder, homicide, as opposed to someone who, you know, intentionally rapes and maliciously a child. I mean, there's no question that the crimes are different. An attempted murderer has the same intention as somebody who is successful in committing a murder. So, you know, I think that, you know, it's been said that people have projected onto Obama sort of what they've wanted to feel. But so far as I know, I don't think Obama has come out and staunchly opposed the death penalty.
Well, I think as we reviewed, and I try to be fairly thorough in that telling of history, the flip-flop charge apparently doesn't apply here. Whether you support his position, whether he's turning out to be a little more conservative on some things than some Democrats would hope, I guess that's the question. The flip-flop charge appears to be phony looking at the history of his statements on both of these issues. But you're raising the ultimate issue here, the bottom line issue, which is should murder, if there's any application of the death penalty, should it be restricted entirely to murder, or can there be anything, child rape or anything else, that is the moral equivalent of murder and should be seen that way in the eyes of the law.
Yeah, I mean, you could say we're going down a slippery slope, but, you know, I know pornography when I see it. So I don't think, you know, it's all that worrisome that no legislator could draw a perfectly bright line.
Okay. Thank you very much. And do say hi to your mom for me, okay?
By all means.
And everybody, I want everybody to call up your mom today and say hi to your mom for me in honor of Noah. Ken in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Come on, it's good to call your mother, doesn't your mother says you don't call me. Ken, do you call your mother?
I do call my mother.
Good.
Actually, I just saw my mother yesterday, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, good. Tell her I said hi, okay?
I will, and she's probably listening right now.
Oh, good.
Hi, but
hi, Mom.
Thank you. First of all, you have one of the smartest shows on radio or television, so thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
I appreciate the discussion every morning. I've been an Obama supporter for several years now. Before most of my friends, I mean, really, I was inspired by his speech at the 2004 convention, and I consider myself to be very progressive. I'm pretty categorically opposed to the death penalty, but you have to remember that the rest of the country is not categorically opposed to the death penalty. And you have to believe that if you believe in Barack Obama and the progressive principles that he does indeed stand for, and your caller a couple callers ago said that she couldn't find any basis to vote for Obama on a progressive agenda, and I find that completely disingenuous. And is he tacking to the right in the general election? Of course he is. Are we, as anybody that has followed politics for any length of time, surprised by this? Of course we are not. Am I disappointed in the FISA, in his stance recently weakening FISA? I am. But it takes that issue off the table for the general election, which frankly is more important right now. It's more important that we get a Democratic administration in the White House, that we get a Democratic majority in Congress, in both houses of Congress, so that we can pass a legitimate progressive agenda. And, you know, some of these ticky-tack issues, and I understand that they are very important, and the death penalty is very important to me, as well as some other issues concerning guns and things like that. But you have to take the longer view of things, and if you vote for a third-party candidate, I'll just point you to Florida in 2000 and the mess that could have been averted had 97,000 people.
And we got George Bush, you would argue, to Susie. Now, Susie said, you know, there are some issues for her that are just bottom line, inviolable, and one of them is opposition to the death penalty. What do you say to people who might react to you as saying, well, this is Clinton 1992 triangulation all over again? Triangulation being, you know, trying to box the conservatives out on some of their issues by embracing those issues, thereby trying to get in and having the opportunity with the president in the White House to get a liberal agenda passed, which Clinton largely failed on. There's
true.
A Paul Krugman column, was it this morning or yesterday, in the New York Times, where he asked that question about Obama. Is Obama going down the road of triangulation, or is he really going to be somebody who runs on exactly what he is, which gives him more of the opportunity, like Reagan, Krugman says, to be transformative as a president?
And I understand those arguments, and I don't reject them out of hand. They are legitimate arguments. The slippery slope argument is probably the most powerful with me. If we're going to start compromising on some of our principles, which principles can you compromise on? I understand all of that. The only argument that I can retort with would be that you have to trust the overall judgment of the person. You're never going to find a candidate that you are going to categorically agree with every single position. And frankly, as a progressive in New York, you know, anyone that agrees with all of our positions right down the line is not going to be elected president of the United States anytime in the next 50 years.
Ken, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it.
Brian.
And thanks for your nice words. And hello again to Kent's mom. And again, we will continue the discussion on the gun control question in the next hour, with the Supreme Court striking down Washington, D.C.'s ban on handguns. What might it mean for New Jersey's ban on assault weapons? What might it mean for the smart gun law in New Jersey, which says any handgun that's produced in the future – that has the kind of smart lock where it knows that its owner or someone else is trying to shoot it, then that would have to become the standard which gun shops use. So we will look at how New Jersey, with some of the toughest gun laws in the country, may be affected by the Supreme Court ruling coming up later on this morning. And coming up in a minute, New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. They just passed the city budget last night. Some people are happy, some are not, about what is getting cut in these tough times. Stay with us for Christine Quinn.